As I look, owl dust scattered across this aggressive area. I can say the words, but I can't tell you how blessed I feel. And how blessed I think we are. That we can do that which seems very inconvenient, and yet rejoice in it and flourish in it and praise God in what we're doing. I'm going to preach a lesson sometime in the future on a nation whose God is Jehovah. But for these few moments before we close, I want us to look at a nation without God. Wherever we have found cultures where there was no knowledge of God, we have found people that committed unspeakable acts of cruelty where there was no human empathy at all. Why do we love? Why do we think of others? Why do we sacrifice for others? We have learned that and every good thing from God and what He is and who He is. Left to our own devices, we might love our children, we might love a husband or wife, but we would not know how to act unselfishly. We would be cruel. We would be a nation where you would not want to live. I'm going to read a passage from the book of Romans. And it is a picture of a nation, of a people, a culture without God. Brethren, you know that's where we're headed. We stand as a testimony to what God can do in saving people and making them noble and making them righteous. And we do need to exemplify that not only here where we are, but when we go out again. And wherever we are, to be Christians. I don't mean the kind that looks down on everybody, but the kind that can say, I need a Savior just like you need a Savior, and then talk about that Savior. Rejoice in that Savior and let the goodness of that Savior be seen in our lives. And if we fail in that, this is what we are going to see. This is a nation without God because it says God gave them up. It's a picture of the Gentiles in the ancient world, but specifically, as you look at the time the book of Romans was written, it certainly included the Romans. I want to begin with verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Here's a nation without God. One thing I want you young people to think about. Actually, we're going to see here an evidence of God. If you want to see order, if you want to see kindness, if you want to see love, it's because God is, and because He has taught us that. And without Him, we would be like other cultures in this world, just unspeakably cruel, as we noted before. That's an evidence of God itself, that goodness, righteousness, love exists. Because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We can identify with that when we listen to the talking heads on television, when we look at the heads of universities and university departments that relish in taking faith from people. The head of the Divinity School in Vanderbilt was one time asked, speaking religiously, are there no conservative students here? That is, people who actually believe in God and believe that the Word of God is from God or the Bible is from God. She said, they may be conservative when they come, but they are not conservative when they leave. Those are the things we're facing. That's a challenge. We need to understand that. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Wherefore, verse 24 says, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness. Here is a nation without God. Uncleanness. God gave them up. A nation bereft of the good things of God. that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. The foundational idea of secular humanism is man is the measure. And that really is the thought that is controlling much of the thinking in the United States of America. God, no, man is the measure. What man wants, what he thinks is good, what he desires, that is the measure. Do it, have it. And so that's what they did in ancient Rome. And it says this, for this cause God gave them up unto vile passions, for the women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, with men working in seemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was their due. And we read that with shame. And we find the world around us rejoicing. And it isn't enough that if somebody's going to sin, you can't stop them. Let them sin. But you've got to not just accept that. You have got to glorify and praise that, or you can lose your job. I know that. I've been in Washington, D.C. I've seen that in government agencies, a nation without God. And even when they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind. God gave them up to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Does any of this sound familiar to you? And what is going on in our nation at this very time? Envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Oh, so-and-so said so-and-so, fire him. Hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful. And on the passage goes. You want to live in a nation that loves God and obeys him? Or do you want to live in a nation without God? I just read to you about a culture without God. The culture with God. One final thought. When you look at the days of Solomon before he turned to idolatry, there was great prosperity. One of the phrases is that every man dwells under his own vine and under his own fig tree. What does that mean? Well, it's like Europe. When you fly over it, you see a little cluster of houses here, a little village, neat, and then surrounded by great fields everywhere. The people live there, and they go out and they work their fields during the day. In biblical times, you dwelt in the cities in the wall because of your enemies. But in times of peace, you did not have to do that. You did not have to come in the evening. Out where your fields were, you could dwell out there under your own vine and under your own fig tree because Jehovah was their God. And he was their God because they respected and they obeyed him. So let's take that thought with us. Let's make Jehovah our God. Let's realize that goodness in this world is evidence that God is. Without him, there would not be goodness in this world.